step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, Zarin.
Who are you?
My name is Elizabeth Dutton.
Well, nice to meet you, Elizabeth Dutton. My name is Elizabeth Dutton.
That's weird.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, reading the wrong lines. Hi, I'm Zarin Burnett.
You know what's ridiculous?
What's ridiculous? You like that? That was ridiculous. No, in all honesty, I have something for you. You ready?
Yes.
In Kentucky, since 1849, every single legislator, public officer, and lawyer must take an oath stating the same thing. All of them. Do you know what the oath is about?
Tell me. You'll
never guess it. No one ever would guess it. They have to say these words. Quote, I have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state or not out of it. So help me God. Oh. They have to take I've never dueled oath.
I think everyone may have to do that.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm totally kidding.
I don't think so.
That's stupid.
It's only in Kentucky that would be a problem.
Stupid and it's ridiculous. You want to know what else is stupid and ridiculous?
Oh, I love stupid and ridiculous.
Air rage.
Air rage? Oh, like fighting on a plane.
Yeah, air rage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll enunciate.
I was thinking like air raids. So I was like, no. I don't think the English would agree.
They would think it's stupid. Yeah, air rage.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about some.
Hit me with it.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. You like air travel, right, Zarin?
Yeah, as long as I'm the get to be the one who flies the plane. No, I'm kidding. I love air travel.
What's your air travel protocol? Like, how early do you get to the airport? Do you check bags? Do you sleep on the plane? Do you drink on the flights?
Oh, man, like my real protocol. Okay, so if I'm being honest, I show up in a rush, most likely because I'm cutting it close because I don't want to hang out at the airport too long. And so then I get there basically where I'm not quite running. I'm not racing through the airport because that makes people nervous these days. So I'm just shy of that. And then I get to like the baggage place and I'm like hoping the people in front of me aren't like really slow like I am. I'm like, please don't be like me. Please don't be like me. And then I get out and then I have to pull out like 3 laptops out of my bag, take my shoes off. I've forgotten things are in my pocket. I'm walking around with magnets in my back pocket. And I'm like, oh, right. And then I have this moment of like, I'm a jerk. And of course, like in something that's completely predictable. And then finally I get all that done. Then I go and I wait and I'm like, wait, which like place, I don't know which gate I'm at. I forgot. I remembered it earlier. Then I get to the gate and I'm like, they're like boarding and I'm like, oh, and then I get on the plane and if it's like, you know, like a Southwest flight, we get to pick your seats. I know no matter, even if I'm late, no one's going to sit next to me. I get like the little casual racism buffer and the seating. And so then I just show up and I just wait for the like, the waitress. So I'm like, oh, what am I in a bar? The waitress to come around with the drink tray. No, I just wait for them to come around. And then I'm like, okay, before COVID, I'd be like, let's go with a Heineken or a beer or something. And then otherwise now I'm just like, I just signal, like I basically drag my fingers across my throat, like, nah, nothing, I'm good. And then I don't say anything for 6 hours and I get off the plane.
That is stressing me out just listening to it.
Right? Yeah. I'm like a air rage incident waiting to happen, either from somebody interacting with me or just like, you know, me really pushing someone over their edge.
Okay. Yeah. I'm the opposite, as you could imagine.
What's your routine? Seems kind of chill.
Oh, I get to the airport very early.
Like the day before?
Like a week ahead of time. Camp out. No, I like to give myself the allotted amount of time. And if I'm checking a bag, especially, I want to make sure I get there. And then I don't like standing in the security line and knowing that my flight is about to board. So
that's the best.
No.
You feel alive.
No, no. Most of what I do in life is try and make things as chill and relaxed as possible.
How's that working out?
Awesome. Because, like, there's an intersection by my house that's a total pain to navigate if I want to get, I have to cross all these lanes of traffic with no light or stop sign in order to get to the freeway.
Okay, so an intersection.
And it's right by my house.
Mm-hmm.
I go up and over a block so that I can have, like, a chill way to get there and not be stressed out trying to.
So you don't take my approach of embrace the chaos.
No, avoid the chaos. That's me.
So you're like, I can navigate around this. I can make a little pathway.
I get to the airport with plenty of time. I don't mind hanging out at the gate and listening in on people's conversations.
I once had an ex-girlfriend make a plane get turn around on the tarmac. She made such a scene that they turned the plane around on the tarmac and came back to pick her up. She was just a princess and she was really good at it and they responded appropriately.
Yeah. that's kind of where we're going today. You know, I think that the stress of air travel, for me, it's sort of stressful. I'm not afraid of flying, but there are just so many components and so many outside things that I can't control. So I want to be able to do the most that I can to, again, maintain chill. Plus, when you combine that, like you're saying with the princess, with this sense of entitlement, people freak out. People lose it.
Completely.
I want to tell you about an epic freak out, an absolutely ridiculous case of air rage.
Oh, yes.
All right. Close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
And we're going to do another one of my imagination experiments for you. It's October in 1995. Let's say that maybe you're the chair of like the astronomy department at Yale or something. And look at you. Look at what you've done. You know, you're a little sad about the death of Jerry Garcia just 2 months earlier because I guess you're a deadhead. And where are you in October of 1995?
I don't know. Where am I?
Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Look at me.
You just gave a talk at the Galileo Galilei Planetarium. You totally killed it, man. Good job, dude.
High five, up high, me.
High five, up high, down low.
Too slow, me.
You've had a wonderful time in this totally beautiful city, right? It's the Paris of South America. You're able to build in a couple of days on either end of your talk for sightseeing and your trip. Folks at the planetarium and the University of Buenos Aires, they've been marvelous. Just lovely. You ate at fantastic restaurants. You explored the city like a local, thanks to all of your academic scientist friends.
I'm living my best life.
Oh my gosh, you learned to tango.
Oh my God, I love to tango.
It's been a wonderful trip. So you get up on the morning of October 19th and you pack your bags. You're carefully folding your pleated Dockers so that they don't get messed up en route.
Okay.
You check out your hotel. Well, I mean, you're like an astronomy guy.
Yeah, no, I'm working with it.
Yeah. You check out of the hotel, you hop in a cab and you head to the airport. As you're driving in the cab, you like have your head leaning against the passenger window in the back.
So I have my independent movie moment.
Oh yeah, you're listening to like singer-songwriter stuff on your CD Walkman. You're staring wistfully out of the taxi window, and your taxi is overtaken by a motorcade. They just go blowing by you. A series of black town cars, cops on motorcycles. This is so exciting. What a city, you say to yourself. Good Lord. You get to the airport. It's a huge concourse. This place is enormous. You head through the metal detectors, make your way to the gate. Now, for whatever reason, you're flying first class.
Back I've never to done that, but this New is cool.
York, back to New York's JFK. You know, it's a long flight. I don't know how you pulled this off. Because I don't know. Maybe you make a lot of money with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you stole airline miles. I don't know how you live.
Selling hot telescopes on the black market.
Yeah, exactly. That's your side gig. So, but before boarding begins, you see this whole giant group of these men in dark suits, and they're making their way to a roped-off area near the gate. Mm-hmm. And you ask the gate agent in completely impeccable Spanish.
Perdóname, brillante mago del cielo. ¿Quiénes son esos hombres?
That sounds so
Your
much
voice
like me.
Is really weird.
It's kind of melodic in that, like, computerized way.
You said, you asked them, excuse me, brilliant sky wizard, who are those men? So the agent explains to you that they're diplomats, but you can't tell you more than that. You're clever. You know what to do. You pull a bag of M&Ms from the front pocket inside your blazer.
Always my answer.
Yeah. I mean,
chocolate.
Hello.
I'm probably going to pull chocolate.
And
out.
As you do this, it reveals that you're wearing a chambray shirt with Tweety and Sylvester embroidered on the breast pocket. It's 1995, baby.
Yeah. Me and John Lasseter, we shop at the same stores.
You dangle the candies seductively in front of the gate agent. And you ask her to tell you more. Tell you.
I'm tempting people with chocolate in 1995.
Tell you who those men are. She looks at the bag of M&Ms. She looks at the Looney Tunes characters stitched on your shirt. She can't help herself. So she spills the beans and tells you that the president of Portugal, Mario Soares, and Argentinian foreign minister Guido de Tella are flying with you to New York, where they're going to be attending the 50th anniversary celebrations for the United Nations.
Oh.
What a life. What a city.
I'm big time in it.
Oh, my goodness. You tear open the bag of candies. The gate agent just, like, tilts her head back and opens her mouth expectantly.
So I'm now in a Renaissance painting of pleasure. Yeah. Go on.
The two of you make eye contact as you pour the contents of the bag into your own gaping maw.
Taking turns.
Just filling it beyond capacity. You chew the candies with your mouth open, sugary, multicolored chocolate drool running down the corner of your mouth. Down your chin, staining Tweety, who's standing in, like, that sassy stance.
Hands on hips.
Bien llegado, she says. Well played. Before lifting the intercom microphone and announcing that boarding is beginning for first-class passengers.
Hey, that's me.
You're in that moment right now.
Es mío.
Mm-hmm. How did you suddenly get so frisky?
I was just born this way.
Did the passion of the Argentinian tango go to your head?
It probably did help.
You're pondering this new you. And a man shoves by you on his way to boarding the plane.
Hey!
Yeah. He's wearing a ridiculously expensive suit. He's already intoxicated.
So it's other me. Go on.
It's your doppelganger. He rummages around for his boarding pass, and you just, like, slip by and board the plane because you're smooth. You still got, like, M&M stuff all over your face, but it was worth it. You take your seat. These seats fully recline into little beds in first class on this kind of long
Get
haul,
out.
767 or whatever
wow.
it is.
Okay.
You're going to recline in luxury. You're going to doze off. You're going to watch a movie.
Why not
read
both?
A magazine? Shop from Sky Mall, maybe? Get yourself, like, a giant sarcophagus for the corner of your house? You know it. You know how Sky Mall goes.
My house needs new decorations.
Who's to say?
Maybe sarcophagi. Get a couple.
You're going to order, like, 12 head of sarcophagi. You're, like, still reeling from the joy of that speech and the dinners and the music and the interlude with that gate agent. What a trip. What a life.
Best life ever.
And then you notice that the man in the fancy suit from the gate is actually seated behind you, sipping on some champagne before taking off. It's first class. That's what you do. He drains that glass, pounds it, asks for another. He's loud. He's, like, really loud.
Okay.
So everyone is boarded. And then the diplomats breeze to their seats in first, and they settle in. Flight attendants are, like, getting ready to taxi, take off. And the fancy suit guy behind you asks for more champagne, totally denied.
I didn't know that.
He yells.
They cut you off before you take
Well,
flight.
If you've, like, been pounding glasses of champers.
Hey, it's first class, baby. It's how we live.
Right? And so he's just like, if you fly first class to Hawaii, by the way, mm-hmm. they give you the option of champagne or Pog. The
what is that?
Is it Pog? Pineapple, orange, guava?
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So on this one, though, they're like champagne only, or maybe it'll give you like a little sip of water. So he's like, I want champagne. They cut him off because he's just had way too much.
Okay, I'll take tequila.
Yeah. Well, no. And so he's just like, he's a master of the universe. He's like Gordon Gekko.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up, tries to pour himself a glass of champagne from an empty bottle on the beverage cart.
I don't think even you can do that in first class.
I don't think you can get champagne out of an empty bottle.
Oh, right. There's that part, too. Yeah.
So he gets reprimanded by the flight crew.
I thought it was like half empty. I didn't realize.
No, it's empty.
All the way empty.
So they start yelling at him, sit down. And he manages to like then make his way up to the galley where he pours himself a glass of champagne and then snaps up two pre-poured glasses for good measure. So he's got three glasses of champagne, makes his way to his seat. They're doing their best, the flight crew, to say like, be professional, be kind, but their patience is tested.
Okay.
You have a bad feeling about this guy.
I'm like that.
Yeah. And as well you should.
Some call me psychic.
His name is Gerard Jerry Finneran.
Not old Dirty Jerry Finneran.
Yeah. He's 58 years old.
Uh-huh.
He lives in a palatial estate in Greenwich, Connecticut.
I can tell from the behavior.
He's the president of Trust Company of the West. It's an investment fund worth more than $150 million. They're focused on third world debt.
Huh.
And he's also the co-manager of a private equity firm called the Argentine Investment Company.
Okay.
So the big money.
So he's in like mining or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. He's just got a ton of cash.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, he's about to get completely ridiculous.
About to get?
About to get. This is nothing. I'm going to let you savor the last bits of your dream trip to Buenos Aires while we hear some ads. And when we get back, we're going to redefine bad flight behavior.
Okay.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
All right. So there you are, flying first class from Buenos Aires to New York City.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at you. What a life.
What a life.
You've had a lovely trip so far. Everything has been perfect, but things are starting to go a little sideways. the guy behind you.
You mean Dirty Jerry Finneran?
Jerry Finneran, he's already on one. He's been guzzling champagne, loudly declaring his need for more. It's not a want, it's a need for him at this point. The plane's still on the ground.
Yes,
okay. We have not left the ground. He's already overserved himself, mm-hmm. refused to sit in his seat. He's been picking fights with the flight crew. Mm-hmm.
And are people having to walk past him to get on the plane? I mean, like everyone.
Yeah, I would guess.
Imagine like, everyone's getting a little sip of
that's
Jerry.
That's a legitimate question because I found out what kind of airplane this was. Mm-hmm. A big one.
Okay.
Is the official name. Nice, it's a, nice. An airplane big one.
Mm-hmm, the Boeing big one.
The Boeing biggin. I think it's like a 767, okay. But I may be a little bit off on one of those numbers.
Okay,
but
so
it's
maybe
a
people
7
are,
something 7.
So they're coming in and making the right turn?
Yeah, in the moment, I looked it up and it looks like. For United, mm-hmm. they come on the plane, make a right turn, walk through first to get to business and then to coach.
Oh, interesting. So okay.
And it looks like maybe on Delta, they got on in between first and business. You
I've
know.
Done that,
and
I've,
yeah. And so
you fly to like Europe and stuff.
But I don't know. But let's say everyone has to cruise through there. Well, it makes more sense that they have to get on between first and business.
That's what
So he's like, he's just causing a ruckus. Won't sit. Plane's still sitting there. Most people would have gotten the boot from the plane by now because it hasn't even left.
I would have been given the boot twice.
Yeah, right? At least, I think the people in coach would have for
they
sure.
They would have kicked me off this flight and any subsequent flights.
You're total, that's a 100% ban right there.
Yeah, no, I would have been kicked into jail.
I think so. So the plane takes off at long last. You're perusing your copy of Entertainment Weekly that you picked up before you left for the trip.
Got to catch up with my guy.
Yeah, you'd like shoved it in your attaché case and forgotten about it.
What has Ed Norton done lately?
Well, no, you're reading the cover story about David Duchovny.
Oh, that's
He's touted as the X-Files hottest UFO, and UFO there stands for unlikely fantasy object.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, so you're just tisk, tisk. You're flipping through, and you hear Finneran behind you ask for a glass of red wine.
Oh, bro, that won't go well. You can't switch from whites to reds
the
like that.
The tannins?
Yeah.
Goodness. So after all his, like, pre-flight antics, you're kind of surprised that they're giving him any alcohol at all.
I'm surprised he's still conscious, but go on.
He downs that glass of red that they bring him and asks for another one.
They bring him the wine.
Yeah. Okay. He slams the second one and is like, barkeep.
Keep this
one
going.
One more.
Do you have a wine bong?
Once again, he wants a wine gravity bong. And the flight attendants just keep stalling from having to deal with him. They're just kind of like, he's a blank space at some point. He's undeterred, right? He gets up. Cruises over to the galley and decides to pour himself some more red wine. It's just self-serve.
Y'all are busy. I got this one.
Yeah. He's like, no worries. I got this. One of the flight attendants catches him doing this and tries to stop him. Mm-hmm. But he grabs the bottle, heads back to his seat, puts the bottle between his legs, effectively preventing the flight attendants from taking it back.
Okay. So he's got it in his crotch, essentially.
Yeah. He's making mold crotch wine because it's warming
Who
up.
Who wants some warm chompers?
Yeah. Then he just gets he gots himself a huge silly straw that's like swirling around. So the flight attendants ask their supervisor, can we cut this guy off? Which, come on, make the executive decision yourself and cut him off. But
can we?
They went to the supervisor. And so then one of the male flight attendants is sent over and they tell him to cool out. They're just like, in the most flight attendant phrasing ever, they say, sir, we're going to need to take a little break from drinking now.
Well, thank you, Stevie.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to go ahead and put a cap on it.
I'm going to need you.
This flips the switch. Uh-huh. Finneran goes into an absolute rage. Air rage.
Wait a minute. So just because somebody says we're going to need you to take a little break from drinking, he's like, nah!
Yeah, exactly. He hulks out. So he like chases the attendant into the galley and he's just screaming, I want your name. I'm going to bust your ass.
Okay.
I just like to imagine that this is delivered, though, like Corky St. Clair from one of my favorite films of all time, Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, right.
But then again, I like to hear everything in my head as if it's said by Corky St. Clair.
He's the Christopher Guest character in
that,
right?
He's the teacher. It's a Zen thing, like how many babies fit in a tire. Or my favorite was like, me, you know, right out of the Navy, you know, fresh off a destroyer with a dance belt and a tube of chapstick. That's like the best line. That and Parker Posey fanning the one chicken wing on the barbecue those are like my favorite things in the world. Anyway, Finnerman's going to bust a guy's ass, he says.
Okay.
And so at this point, the flight supervisor steps in and tries to calm things down. He's successful. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like, I don't know what they say. He leans in. You're trying to listen, professor. You're just like, what are they?
What's going on?
And Finneran goes back to his seat. The cabin goes quiet.
Finally, me and my cotton dockers can relax.
Oh, you just exhale and you just start one by one taking peanuts out of a bag and you're like licking your fingers because the salt.
One by one.
One by one.
Putting them on like little tray and lining them
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. And then snorting them.
Crushed peanuts.
Yeah.
Got my credit card out. And I'm like, what's going on,
you're
y'all?
Just still riding the high of the Buenos Aires trip.
Gotta go with this.
Finneran doesn't want the party to stop, obviously. So he gets up again and approaches a flight attendant, and he mm-hmm. demands a drink. And she tells him, you know what? You're cut off. Dude, you're cut off. Go back to your seat. Mm-hmm. So in this, like, choose your own adventure, do you take a beat, think about what you've done, decide to go back, sober up, you know, in your little first-class seating pod?
Mm-hmm.
Not if you're Finneran.
No, no.
Finneran. He puts his hands on the woman's chest and just shoves her into a seat. She goes flying back. Falls
he does, like, does like a full on boob press and pushes her back the aisle.
Yeah, totally.
So it's like a double offense.
Yeah. I wish it was like a chest butt, but he just shoves her with it and she goes flying back.
I'm trying not to laugh.
You go ahead. It's okay. We're all friends here. So Finneran, like, he shoves her. This turns into a he starts going berserk. He's losing it.
Okay.
He heads again to the galley to the drinks cart.
Mm-hmm.
There's this complete ruckus. Everything breaks into chaos because Finneran didn't just stumble up there and pour himself another drink. He climbs onto the cart. Okay. Now, those carts aren't really huge.
No.
And they're already like a little bit top heavy, right?
And they got
not
those little
the
tiny
safest
casters.
Move, but like Finneran is safety's enemy at this point. And like a tipping cart is the absolute least of our worries. He's standing on the cart. He's
standing
yelling. And then he pulls down his pants.
Oh, God.
And he squats down. And he 100% takes a giant dump on the drinks cart.
Wait, what?
In front
of the president of Portugal?
Just a big old steamer on the drinks cart. People start losing it. They are losing it.
Oh my God.
So he's still on the cart when he reaches down. He grabs some like cloth napkins and he wipes himself in front of the president of Portugal.
Oh man.
And like, so he's just like taking a napkin, wiping, tossing it. He steps in his own crap as he jumps off the cart. And then he starts making his way towards the toilets. And like, he started like wiping the soiled napkins on the walls of the plane as he walked. And I like to imagine it like he's doing it like a very Jim Morrison of the Hamptons slinky swagger as he's going along. And like his pants are kind of like half done. He tracks doo-doo all over the cabin
mm-hmm.
and he wipes it on the walls and the seats before locking himself in the bathroom. So, you know he wrecked shop in the bathroom as well.
Oh,
that
yeah.
lavatory.
Goes without saying.
He was just blowing mud, throwing rope. So he pops out of one bathroom that he's in and ducks into another. Perhaps just like to be able to decimate both of them.
I had no idea how dirty Jerry was.
Oh, Jerry. So at this point, like, food service is about to start. Well, it should have been starting. That's why the cart was out. But there's caca everywhere. I'm having a really good time thinking of all the synonyms. So Finneran, he's locked in the lavatory, and there's not going to be any dinner because we've got like a hazmat situation going on. And so the pilots realize we have to land this plane. Like, this is ridiculous. The closest airport is San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's over the Caribbean at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, they're
okay.
over the uh-huh. Caribbean. And so they radio to San Juan, and San Juan turns them away.
They're like, hell no, bro. You got to take that stuff elsewhere.
Did the wise Puerto Ricans just not want anything to do with this literal SH show? No. Turns out that they couldn't land the plane there because of the dignitaries on board.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's like an unscheduled stop would be a huge security risk. And the State Department has protocols for diplomats boarding and landing at U.S. airports,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't really have anything in place for that at that point because it's unscheduled.
Okay.
So the poop plane flies on, continues on, and Finneran Eventually, his traveling companion slash colleague.
Someone is with him. He's not traveling by himself. Someone is sitting next to him like, yeah. Bro, you got to chill.
Oh,
bro,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, a lady.
Jerry,
a lady who works with him.
Oh, my God.
She manages to like help the flight crew to jimmy the lock on the bathroom and coax him out.
Why did she help?
And at this point, dude is covered in feces.
He's naked now?
No.
Oh, he's just all over his clothes.
It's
okay.
Just all over him.
I thought he'd strip down and
the gal pal
smearing himself.
Takes him back to his seat, and the two of them snuggle together and go to sleep.
What?
Yeah, she nuzzled up
to
a man.
My record scratched in my head. I'm sorry. What?
She nuzzles up to a man covered in his own droppings. And there are still 4 hours left on this flight.
Oh,
4 hours.
Now, is it wrong of me to assume that there were more than work associates?
I don't know.
How are you going to cozy up to your colleague who's got feces all over him and be like, I'm just going to help him get settled?
You're in the cabin, professor.
Yeah.
Don't you dare try and escape this imagination exercise. You know it straight up reeks in there.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so the flight crew could only like, they throw a blanket over him and his companion and just hope for the best.
How much is a first class ticket?
They tarped him over.
The respect. What is it, $1,000 more? That's a really good $1,000 investment.
But here's my absolute favorite detail of this.
Uh-huh.
That it smelled so bad in the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think he'd been eating? Anyway,
oh,
skip
I can
that.
Only imagine.
So,
oh.
But here's my thing. The flight crew, they needed to mask the smell.
Yeah.
So they
like
walked.
We can smell the nachos.
They walked up and down the aisles spraying Lagerfeld cologne. Wait, I just love
why
this because the brand is
why
specified.
Yeah.
Like in all the news reports, well, like they used Lagerfeld cologne.
It's like the worst but best advertisement ever.
But you know how closely scent is tied to memory? And
oh,
so
God,
like
yeah,
every
never.
Single one of the people on that flight for the rest of their lives, when they smell Lagerfeld cologne, they're going to immediately smell crap.
They're going to think of Jerry Finneran squatting on the
yeah.
down the drink cart.
They're going to pass someone on the street wearing that scent and immediately start retching. So for 4 hours, people are enrobed in Lagerfeld dookie smell. They're hungry. They haven't eaten, but not really because it smells like a ground beef tire fire up in there. Like they can't. What do you do, right? What did you do, professor? How did you handle this? I don't even know if they're, you know that this is all an imagination exercise with you. So mm-hmm. I don't want people to think that the professor from Yale was actually there.
Yeah, no, it's just,
this
is
just
me,
imaginary
the professor
professors
from Yale.
There. And, exactly. So the whole like big UN trip for the president of Portugal and mm-hmm. the Argentine minister of foreign affairs, off to a great start, you know, diplomacy. I got to take a breath. Let's take a short break and I'm going to let you know how this all shakes out.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health. With great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, so where were we?
Oh, let's see. We were in about 36,000 miles, 36,000 feet in the air, and everything smelled like poop and Karl Lagerfeld's cologne.
Yeah, the poop ship destroyer flight 976 eventually lands in New York, and the feds are waiting.
I hope so.
Yeah. The FBI arrested Gerard Finneran upon his arrival. He gets charged with interfering with a flight crew and assaulting a flight member.
Okay.
Flight attendant, excuse me.
Now, when is assaulting, is that a specific thing, or is he getting arrested for assault and battery? It just happens to be a flight attendant.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that,
I just
like,
know if there's a federal
I think
code.
That there's probably like,
it's like
some
striking
sort of,
an officer is like a special.
Yeah, let's say there is.
Okay.
Sure.
So, sure. Why not, Johnny?
He posts $100,000 bond, and he's required to attend alcohol counseling, and he's not allowed to fly anywhere without the court's permission. So he's effectively grounded.
Yeah.
Now, Finneran has tons of money, so you'd imagine that he gets like a really great lawyer.
I've seen some of the lawyers some really rich people hire.
I'm not necessarily
guaranteed this.
I feel like maybe his lawyer wasn't quite prepared for this craptacular situation.
Oh, God.
So in court and in the papers, the lawyer, Charles Stillman, insists that the booze had nothing to do with his client's capers.
How so?
He says it's all false. It's a horrible lie.
I guess he took a tranquilizer earlier and didn't know
it's such a good explanation. What he's trying to do is rewrite the narrative. He's hoping
that the
plane ride will be like most of this guy's life. What he says goes. He's just going to say how it is. Don't forget, there's no smartphones or social media.
Right.
1995. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like someone wanted to get the video. They had to bust out an actual video camera, tape the whole thing, and then maybe sell like the physical tape to Inside Edition.
I feel you.
There's no one there yelling, "World Star!
World Star!"
Which would have been awesome. So if you weren't a weird astronomy professor at Yale and you were instead a high-priced lawyer in Manhattan, how would you defend your client's actions? You said, what was it? I wasn't listening to you before.
I was like, I think I said something about like tranquilizers. I don't know. The point being that usually those high-priced lawyers like to shift the blame onto something that raises reasonable doubt that you cannot really say does or does not do the thing they're claiming, and that's all they have to introduce. So I would try to come up with some reasonable doubt that, oh, he had a reaction to his medications, and I just find whatever medications he has and find some doctor who says that somebody once had a reaction. I'd be like, yes, he's also having that.
You're totally on the right path there.
Oh, am I? Look at me.
Yes.
Law school paid off.
Right now, you just passed the bar.
Look at that.
You're done.
I'm going to go call my mom.
Zarin Burnett III, Esquire.
She's so proud of me.
I know. It's so good. So Stillman opts for a really ridiculous play.
Okay.
Finneran pleads guilty as charged in court, but the lawyer wants to make sure everyone understands that it was all just a big misunderstanding.
the poop on the drink cart?
Yeah.
Total misunderstanding.
He says, well, you know what? It's actually the president of Portugal's fault. Shift the blame.
Rewrite
the narrative.
Do we know who exactly was on the drink cart? We have eyewitnesses, but can they be trusted?
Well, he says that, okay, he's like, listen, my man Finneran, he actually had a really bad case of traveler's diarrhea.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's like if you eat something that you're not used to while traveling. So
like
he had
like
bad clams
revenge,
or he drank water So he says that that's what happened. Not that he was on a complete loose goose bender, but he's got traveler's diarrhea.
Or Canadian goose bender.
Well, as an aside, I kind of feel like maybe he had more than just champagne and red wine driving the crazy train.
I'm thinking he showed up a little loose.
Yeah, pure speculation. Maybe there's like Colombian marching powder, nose candy involved.
Ah, yes.
I don't know. And that's pure speculation on my part.
Man.
But like when people say, by the way, when people say nose candy, I always imagine someone shoving an entire Snickers bar up their nose with the heel of their palm.
I always imagine Pop Rocks going in their nose.
See, we have it. And that's just me.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, Stillman, he says that Finneran had the squirt super bad and that the president squirts.
My grandfather used to call me. Somebody got the squirts? What are you talking?
He's like, he was sliding into first. He felt something burst.
Diarrhea.
I don't remember the rest of that. Then I'm not going to.
Oh, when you slide into first and you feel something burst in diarrhea.
Yeah.
Diarrhea.
And then there's a second.
Oh, there's a bunch. Yeah.
And a third.
Mm-hmm.
Something about a turd.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyhow, president of Portugal's team won't. The Stillman, the lawyer, says that the president of Portugal's team isn't letting his client into the bathroom while he has bad diarrhea.
Okay.
And that he was prevented from accessing this bathroom by this crew. And what's he supposed to do? Use coach bathrooms like an animal?
Okay. Wouldn't that be like the easiest people to find to get an eyewitness testimony that they did not do that?
No, because he's just rewriting the narrative. And the lawyer says, you know what? The only other option he had was to pop a squat on the beverage cart. What else are you going to do?
It's logic. The reasonable choice.
Hello, logic.
Anyone in these conditions.
Yeah. The bogus meter's off the chart.
Yeah, the judge is just like, oh.
So was the judge like, you know what? We all been there. No worries. No.
Yeah.
Thankfully, no. Finneran gets sentenced to 300 hours of community service,
mm-hmm.
2 years probation, and a $5,000 fine. And he also had to pay the airline almost $50,000.
Oh, for the like hazmat crew?
Yeah, like a grand or two went for cleanup costs. Like they must have had to steam clean, disinfect, maybe replace seats.
I hope so, yeah.
And then some of the passengers were calling for Finneran to be tested for hepatitis to make sure they weren't exposed. And then in total ignorant 90s fashion, some of them wanted him to be tested for AIDS because they thought that's how they were going to get it.
He gave me the butt AIDS.
Like, yeah, right. The poop AIDS.
He gave me the...
So, that's an intelligent move. logic. Anyway, the rest of the money that was paid to the airline went towards reimbursement costs for the other passengers.
What about the flight crew who he was boob pushing down the aisle and yelling
at?
I
swear, if I'm on that flight, if I'm Professor Zarin and I don't get like a dozen free first class flights out of this, I'm losing it. I'm crapping on stuff. Like I'm going nuts. And I feel like they probably like refunded people's tickets and gave them like a drink voucher and maybe a pair of those little plastic United wings.
You know that there had to be, I mean, at least it doesn't have to be, but I would imagine statistically at least one person on that flight that was the first time they ever flew. So like the first time they ever fly a person.
And they never fly again.
Exactly. They're like, trains for me.
Like, so Finneran, though, he goes on to lay low for the rest of his days. You know, he's promised as much to the judge during his sentencing because he tells him, you will never hear of me doing anything like this again.
Okay, that's quite a promise there, Jerry.
You're never going to hear of me doing something to get away with it. In fact, though, he later volunteers at a nonprofit that helps source post-incarceration employment for people who've completed their sentences.
But did he, like, pick that? I mean, are we giving him credit for
that? Yeah, I'm giving him credit.
Okay.
Now, I debated including this next part.
Okay.
Because, like, we had a wild ride, and I didn't want to end it on a bummer.
Okay, I appreciate that. Still trying to get the Karl Lagerfeld out of my mental theater.
I think it should be mentioned. And, you know, at least we had some fun along the way here. Mm-hmm. But Finneran died in 2005. And his cause of death was complications of Alzheimer's mm-hmm. disease. So the air rage incident took place 10 years prior to this. And there has been, you know, speculation that the whole mess was a sign of early onset Alzheimer's.
Okay. Now, I've had friends, grandparents who had Alzheimer's, and I watched the deterioration go from like, the person that they were to the person, like they could not remember their wife and so forth. And it was really, you know, as a kid, I remember this was the case. It was really sad and really difficult to watch. But I don't remember any of them having episodes of, like, this type of behavior.
Yeah.
When they did, occasionally they would get angry because they would get confused and stuff.
Mm-hmm,
but
sure.
Their anger didn't turn into, I'm surfing the drink cart and pooping on. I mean, like,
right? It didn't go. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've had relatives who at the end of their lives had diminished capacity, mostly due to dementia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of them did some seriously ridiculous and, like, in hindsight, hilarious things as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, it was wild and like out of character and distressing. But like with time, it becomes a pretty funny story.
Totally. With time.
Yeah. And I think that because after that time and like when they're gone, we have a more holistic view of who they were in their life and like the absurd nature of just our brief time on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that kind of. And so like when you take the illness out of the equation in these stories, they're funny. And there's something that the person themselves would laugh about. Most likely. I'm just like giving credence to if there is speculation that that played a part in it. But like in the case of Gerard Finneran, on the surface of the story, it's a guy who went nuts in first class and flipped out and then did something so primal and like against societal norms, meaning like going against civility and basic hygiene. Like it's not like, oh, I'm a rebel. I don't cut my hair. It's like, I'm a rebel. I crap all over the place. You know, it shocked and it amused people, like late night hosts like David Letterman and comedians. They used his antics and material like crazy at the time.
Oh, I bet.
It was everywhere. But we have some distance and we see how it played out. And he was a guy who did a lot of good things in his life. Okay. You know, he had a wife of 44 years, kids, mm-hmm. grandkids. He was in the Air Force, successful businessman, played a ton of sports, loved to be active. So like he used a major misstep too in his life to lead him to help out others who'd done something that they regret and had paid their dues and just wanted to get back into society, the society they offended, injured.
Sure. So he became like a gateway for others.
Yeah. And he realizes, I've been there. I've done something really, really wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think it really affected his work career because he, you know, he went on to continue to make money and be, you know, well-regarded. So I think he wanted other people to have that. There's a part in his obituary in the New York Times that I thought was like a really interesting snapshot of who he was outside of the fecal fiasco.
Okay.
So let me read this to you. And please. I quote, Gerard was one of the founding partners of TCW Worldwide and the author of its eclectic but very successful investment style. He was a consummate value investor who could see around corners. And he was a wonderful boss who focused on what people could do, not on what they couldn't. He engendered loyalty and love from those who were lucky enough to have the opportunity to work with him. His enthusiasm, caring, and absolute fearlessness will be sorely missed. So he's a complex guy, you know. Hmm. Whatever your thoughts on the like social value of equity funds or whatnot, you know.
He's
a human being who seems to connect well with other human beings.
But is he like a salesman type, or like did you get a sense of what where his charm is? Because like some people can be charming because they're working on it. Some people can be charming because they have integrity and you're drawn to it.
I think that his charm was sort of in the fact that he was not risk averse and he was willing to do things a little bit differently. It sounds. From what I've, you know, when I understand. And it wasn't just that he was like a charming guy. I think he was just a nice guy.
Okay.
And so if you look at it, like he connects with other people. I feel like that's the meaning of life, right? That's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Connect
Completely.
With other people. Completely. Connect with other living things. And it's too late for me to say that I don't want to get philosophical about this because I'm like deep in it. But what I think is appealing about ridiculous crimes that we talk about is this whole thing. Like that's this, like we... people make major screw-ups and antics and foiled plots. Mm-hmm. They're real people. And they're great examples of the fallibility of human beings.
Totally.
You know? And we're all capable of these things. You know, anyone who says that they're not is lying to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so the crimes that we talk about are ones where no one loses their one precious life.
Yes.
You know? So... these are the kind of weird things we all do along the way. Not all of us, but we all make dumb choices at some point and to differing degrees. And those are the things that we talk about. And I think it's sort of better to laugh at those because, like, life is ridiculous.
Completely.
Yeah.
So 100%.
And that is my ridiculous takeaway on this one. So Gerard Finneran, you know, did something completely ridiculous and gross and hilarious. And maybe it was for reasons that weren't so hilarious, but... maybe, we don't know, speculation, but the bottom line is it's absolutely hilarious to poop all over an entire first class cabin.
It completely
because
is.
You can't get a drink.
The obit you read reminds me, the way you talk about him being, or the way the obit talked about him being a value investor and, you know, basically being warm and somebody who took some risk, reminded me almost like of Warren Buffett. So imagining Warren Buffett standing on a drink tray, dropping trowel and crapping on like all the coffee and everything.
Right.
Now, suddenly I'm like, now how could he get past that? And I could see him doing it, but I don't see him laughing about it per se, but I could imagine laughing about it. And I think with time, even Warren Buffett would laugh at the image of him dropping trowel on a drink cart.
By all rights, we have every right to laugh about it. And so does Warren Buffett.
Yeah. You know, so. just saying. So I was trying to like, you know, picture like, well, how far could I take this investment banker who's just a decent guy? Just had this one weird moment.
Well, we hope it was the one weird moment.
Yeah, that's true.
What has he gotten away with quietly in other instances? But it seems like he righted the ship.
Yeah. Completely.
And I love a good, I won't just say like, I love a good redemption story.
Yes, you do.
So this is a redemption story about Poop Man Joe, who just like let it loose. And he gave me the opportunity to think of so many synonyms for fecal matter.
Yeah, he did.
You know, thank you, Gerard.
I think my other ridiculous takeaway is apparently a first class ticket. Wow. I had no idea. It's like a get out of jail free card.
Yeah. I mean,
right up to a point, obviously.
It's, I guess, worth it to fly first for many, many reasons.
That $1,000 goes a long way.
Oh, not just a thousand. So,
is it? Okay. I have no idea. See, it's so clear. I have no idea.
That's us for today. You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. Note, I will not be posting poop pictures on Instagram.
Whatever.
You're welcome, America and the world. You got a tip for us about a ridiculous crime that you want to hear about? Do you want to tell us about the time that you pooped on a cart in first class? Email us. We can take it at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. So tune in next time for more ridiculousness. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett, produced and edited by duty-free Dave Kustin. Research is by TSA pre-boarding approved Marissa Brown. The theme song is by Thomas Longhall Lee and unaccompanied minor Travis Dutton. Executive producers are upright and locked position Ben Bolin and nonstop Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.